Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by Nogueira.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren, along with Nick Bailing, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And if this was any other week, we'd be talking about this very exciting fight, the biggest fight, in fact, in Michael Bisping's career as he takes on Anderson the Spider Silva. But we're probably not even going to get to that, actually. No, I mean, I promise we will get to that. But we actually have to start in Conor McGregor land as Rafael Dos Anjos is out with, I believe I'm supposed to technically say a broken foot, although Conor would say it's a bruised foot. I've heard people on MMA fighting call it a bruised toe, Nick. So, I mean, there's something wrong with his foot. He's out of the fight. This is why we're doing this on Friday, because every week I think that this happens, it's you, myself, Andy, Julian, Ken Evans all just sit around and go, okay, should we do this now, or is something else crazy going to happen? Should we wait a day? So we thought, okay, Friday is as late as we can go if we want to talk about Anderson. So we are waiting till now to let you know that officially Nate Diaz is in the picture. It is at 170 pounds. And to be honest with you, it might be the most interesting fight this year if Conor wins it decisively.
It is going to be the most interesting fight this year. And I think what makes this so exciting is the amount of variables that we're dealing with here. Weight discrepancies of both of them fighting out of their weight class. Nate Diaz, who is a cardio machine, but taking a last-minute fight, so he doesn't have a full camp for this thing. But Conor McGregor using, 25 pounds more?
Yes.
Yeah, so 25 pounds more of moving that kind of body weight around. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially if this goes into the third and fourth and fifth round.
Well, and I this is totally unfair, but all I, you know, because on the one hand, I love this fight to death because it's two guys who, in my mind, epitomize. You can think about their antics, whatever you want to think about their antics. That's fine. We can have that debate, but that has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. Two guys who will fight anyone, anywhere, any weight class is why you watch this sport. There aren't, if you think about the rest of the entire organization, Nick and Nate were the outliers. Conor has now joined that fray. They were guys that would fight anybody, anytime. You want me to fight Anderson Silva? No problem. I'm going to lie on the mat and flip him up, right? Like, they were the epitome of what was great about the idea of the sport, that you were going to test yourself against the biggest challenge to come to you. And this is a huge challenge for both Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, because like I was starting, all I keep picturing is that horrific Nate Diaz-Rory McDonald fight where Rory McDonald just Chris Benoit powerbombed him for three rounds until he left the division. So, like, at 170, I don't really have fond memories of Nate Diaz. However, I can't help but think I'm glad to give you $60 because that's what I want the organization to be. It's been for too long, Nick, guys who, and this is why I think RDA is taking it on the chin, because it's been too long guys that hurt their finger and tweak a rib and do all these things a week before or 10 days before a fight and ruin everything for whatever the reason is, if it's overtraining or whatever. I love this because this is clearly two guys who are going to put it on the line with a lot on the line.
Well, with a few extra expletives put into it, they were saying that neither of them care about a belt. This is a fight. I'm out here to do this. So, I mean, they're doing the right thing to promote the whole thing. But, man, just from watching two people, just fighters, it's just a fight, and that's what got this so huge. I mean, that's what made the UFC so huge. And now you have insurance policies for people that are, you know, if you get hurt, you have insurance to go and get fixed. The UFC doctors will help you out. Mm-hmm. Someone like RDA 7 years ago would still be fighting with that broken foot.
Because he'd have to, right?
He'd have to. And then afterwards, he'd be saying, well, you know, my foot was broken and I dealt with it, whether he won or not. And then people would either say that was an excuse or he was a hero, but he just had to.
Because what you're referring to is you had to actually do the fight to get the insurance in the old system. So if you and I were fighting and I broke my foot before the fight, I would have to take the fight, do the fight, figure out what happens in the fight. And then afterwards, because I got, quote unquote, injured in my foot in the fight, the UFC would have covered it. And that's, you know, that's the way the old system was. Now it's preemptive in hopes of less injuries. And I don't know that to be the case. I'd actually like to pull some data and see if it's more or less injuries, because I'm pretty sure it's more. But yeah, so he would be fighting right now if it was in the old regime, because you just didn't have any other way to get insurance aside from paying for it.
Yeah, correct.
All right, so what you've got here, you know, and we'll break this fight down next week in a little bit more detail, but you've got, they're calling it ninja versus ninja is what they're calling it. There's been some really, really great fan posters that I'm sad that they're not using. There's one with the two of them split down the middle flipping you off that I think is probably the best UFC poster you'll never see in the wild. But you've got a guy in Nate Diaz whose jiu-jitsu is, I think, far better than most human beings in the organization. I think his ability to get you from guard is not too dissimilar from the beautiful violence of Donald Cerrone's triangle from last weekend. Very similar, and his guard is going to be tough for everybody who gets into it. That's to say if it gets to there, and I don't think it will. On the feet, Diaz has a 2-inch reach advantage. And so, to me, that's where this battle is going to be won or lost. And I'm not saying that 2 inches is going to be a huge disparity. Vegas seems to not give a crap about the 2-inch advantage, because they have him as a huge, huge underdog. And without a camp, I don't know that I blame them. However, you cannot count these guys out. The Diaz brothers are always in shape. They're always fighting. They're always competing. They're always doing something, which is what makes this... This couldn't have gone any better. For what happened, Nick, this could not have gone any better.
As far as the amount of hype, the only fight similar to this would have been if they put Cerrone in there, just because I'm such a big fan of him. This fight makes more sense for the UFC and for both of these fighters. I think that, you know, Nate has had a lot of successes in his own right, but he still lives underneath his brother Nick.
Sure.
And so if he wins this fight, like, he's going to be doing it in front of the most people that he's ever won a fight in front of. And, you know, you have these huge camps of the Diaz supporters, or you hate them. And then you have these Conor McGregor lovers, or they hate them. And I mean, just the fandom on the outside of this watching this is fantastic.
It's totally fantastic. And if he wins, yeah, it's going to be huge. If Conor wins, expect the entire sport to change. The entire sport will change if he wins. And especially if he wins like he beat Jose Aldo. Not to say he's going to beat Nate Diaz in 10 seconds. That's not what I'm saying. But if he beats him early and he beats him decisively, kids, this sport's about to change.
You don't have to be a Conor McGregor. You don't have to be a Nate Diaz. You don't have to have that like silver tongue that can talk, or the one that can't and you just swear the whole time and everyone loves it anyways.
Right.
You don't have to be those two people, but their attitude is what's going to be changing the sport. It's that I'm going to get out there. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be that guy. Look at, you know, Cowboy comes off of a loss, wins, and everybody forgives everything, and it doesn't matter because he's the show and that's the thing you want to watch. It's the same with these two guys. They win, they lose, it doesn't matter. They each have a reason why they should lose this fight, and they both have a reason why they should win this fight, and they're both going to come out of it looking golden no matter what, and they're going to each get what they want after this fight.
That's very true. What I mean by if Conor wins is he is the champ at 145 pounds who would have beaten a contender. Now, I know that Nate hasn't competed at 170, but when he did, he was in the top 10, top 15, right? Beats a contender at 170 who's certainly top 6 at 155, beats him at 170, which means it opens Conor McGregor to super fights at just about any weight sub 185, I would guess. So enter into your mind, let's rewind back about 4.5 years. A young Anderson Silva, that may or may not have been on steroids at that point, says that Jose Aldo was pound for pound the best fighter in the organization, and if he could come up to 185 and fight him, he would beat Anderson Silva. This is what Anderson Silva says. Fast forward to 2016. There's a guy who's doing that. There is literally a guy now who's like 45, 70, 85, 55, don't care. I'll fight everybody anywhere at any time. And for, you know, all of his hyperbole talking about the Conor McGregor belt, if you have a guy in the organization that can succeed in 4 different weight classes, I'm telling you, this is going to be the next change in how this sport works. Because if you are eliminating, and I believe we're trying, if you're eliminating the performance-enhancing drugs, or at least trying to keep the genie in the bottle, sort of, it's going to be impossible, but you're trying to do that. The lack of IVs means that you have to stay closer to true weights, or at least understand where those weights are. If you can develop a flock of fighters, you know, when Rory McDonald came in, he was this new breed of, he was the first MMA fighter, right? The guy who had studied all of it. He didn't come up in karate or came up in wrestling and then adapted that to his thing. He was the kind of the prodigy of what MMA has evolved into since. If you've got guys now that can float between weight classes, I mean, Benson was doing it prior to going to Bellator between 55 and 70. Cerrone's doing it. I mean, Cerrone, save for the fact that he looks terrible if you kick him in the tum-tum, right? Like, this is, he does not like getting kicked in the stomach at all. That was an impressive win at 170 after a decisive loss at 55. That blows this whole organization wide open. And once again, to your point that you've brought up last couple weeks, really makes heavyweight look pretty awful. Like, it becomes way less interesting when you've got, you know, like we found out last week, median age is 37. And if Cormier and Jones don't go up there, and like Cormier is not going to be able, he's what, 39, right? Like, he's not going to be able to do it for much longer either.
He doesn't help that median age if he goes up.
He does not help the median age, but Jones does, right? But I think Jones and Rumble would clean that division out. But if those are two guys that want to do that, like, this is what I mean. If Rumble and Jones and Gustafson decide that they want to float back and forth, makes that the upper end really interesting. Where are they going to fight? Who are they going to fight? Look, Overeem and Gustafson, what an amazing, right? Like, all of these things. If Connor wins next weekend, changes the entire organization.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that one. It's, you know, can he carry it? These two, it's like they just didn't want to cut. If they were like, screw it, if we're going to be on this amount of time, we're not going to try to make this one.
Well, and I, you know, if you watch the press conference, I don't, you, there's some truth in jest. So at some point, the fight was supposed to be at 55. I believe, if I'm reading between the lines, I believe that Nate's manager said, can't make 55 on 8 days. That's just not fair to him. So they went up to 60, and the manager probably said, not 60. 65. So Connor's own words, not mine, said, you know what, let's just put it at 70, make sure he's comfortable and give him what he wants, because Connor knows two things. One, he knows that he's doing this guy a favor. I mean, Nate's going to get a huge payday, that, to your point, largest crowd, probably largest payday. And two, the guy's doing you a favor, right? He's getting, keeping you out in front of people, you're getting a huge payday. Some concessions are necessary, and you're probably around 170 anyway. And, you know, you wonder what happens to your body if you don't have to do any of that, if you just get up, well, right? It, like, if you just wake up and fight.
And that, if people are floating these weight classes more, I wouldn't be surprised to see guys doing less weight sucks if two of them just look at each other and say, this weight? And they say, yeah. And then that's what they agree to fight on. The weight classes are important for belts and for structure and everything like that. But to say that you're stuck to one, to say that Cerrone's a 155er, now he's a 170, it's like, well, where's the fight? Where is it interesting? If there's a slightly smaller guy and they want to meet at 155, then maybe Cerrone can do that.
And Cerrone, you know, it, again, another one of those guys. Anyone, anytime. My problem with him, look, I get why people love him. I love him too. My problem with this fight, though, it's an awful matchup for Cerrone. An awful, awful matchup, because Connor's going to kick him in the ribs and the stomach, and it's going to be just like Chad Mendez all over again. That is, you know, that's his Achilles heel, and he's got to figure that out if he wants to succeed at 170, because even Alex Oliveira was tearing him apart on the feet. His jiu-jitsu was gorgeous. The takedown was amazing. You know, like, you were laughing that his coach is like, you took him down, like, because it wasn't very Cerrone-like. But it's not very Cerrone-like when you don't want to get kicked in the stomach. So you're like, I'll try anything to stop being kicked in the stomach. So, yes, he's another one of those guys that I think will probably float, because maybe he's like the Diaz brothers. They don't really care about the belt. They've talked about caring about the belt, but maybe he just doesn't want to deal with that. He just wants to fight and then go wakeboarding and then fight and then go wakeboarding. And that's what he wants to do. I could totally see him jumping up and down and finding guys that are interesting, especially if it ends up being a logjam. As I mean, look at 85 and 70. If you're an 85er or a 70 that could float back and forth and you don't want to deal with a logjam at either, you can still stay busy with really interesting fights that might be huge paydays that have nothing to do with a belt.
Well, in something that we haven't even discussed yet is, like, Diaz's face looked like he fought yesterday.
Right. Now, he always looks, of the two, he always looks like he's a bit rougher, meaning, like, he just wears it a little bit worse than Nick does. Nick always looks angry, but he doesn't look like, you just said, like he came out of a sparring session with a gorilla or whatever happened to Nate Diaz before that. Excuse me. But yeah, he looked a little worse for wear. I think 8 days is going to be a tough putt for him. But again, you can't help but be excited about this fight. It's super exciting, really, with any variables. If they had a full camp, the thing about a full camp is, number one, you're probably going to get a more competitive fight. Not that Nate can't win this on 8 days' notice. I just mean a more technical, like, here's the thing I'm going to do, as opposed to I'm going to go in and fight, which each of them have their pros and cons, right? But the real downside is we only get one press conference with the two of them. That's the real downside of the whole thing, is that you only get to see them once yell at each other. And Nick, because if you haven't watched the press conference, it's up on the Way the Warrior Facebook page. You can see half of the press conference is Connor telling Nate to F off, Nate telling Connor to F off, and then the other half is Connor telling Nick to F off, and Nick telling Connor to F off. So, you know, that's, to me, that's the real shame of this whole thing, is that we don't get more of the Wolf Ticket Nick and Nate show against Connor McGregor.
You know, it's, this became so dynamic that, look at, we spent the first 20 minutes of this talking about this, and we actually have a fight that would be for the yearbooks, for the record books, 2 years ago, we'd be clamoring for this.
Well, and I looked back, actually. It's episode 108 where we talked to Michael Bisping, where he was like on a 10-fight win streak and nobody would let him fight Anderson Silva. You know, and so here we are, and that's, you know, that's a great transition. We've got a couple questions today to get to, and this is actually one of them about Anderson Silva and Michael Bisping. This is Bisping's biggest fight in his career, and this is... Ken and I were talking on the phone the other day, and he was saying, you know, if Anderson beats Bisping and Connor beats Nate Diaz, again, like I said, what's to stop Connor from being like, I'll fight Anderson. I mean, like, he's never going to fight for a belt, guys. I'll fight him, like, just to say that I fought him. And that's what I mean by changing the whole thing. But this is a really interesting fight, as it's Anderson coming off of getting busted. He's spent a lot of the week talking about it doesn't damage his legacy. I don't know that I agree. I think it does damage your legacy, only because not too dissimilar from what Connor said 2 days ago, where he said, I'm all against this, never done it, never gonna do it. You know, when you put your neck out like that, you better mean it, because if you don't, it comes back and this is what happens. If you're a guy that never says anything, you know, if you're Overeem, you can bounce right back. They just assume that when you say that you're eating horse meat, they really know what you mean, and you get caught and they go, okay, whatever. I mean, Josh Barnett, like all those guys, none of them have ever just said, never going to do it. It's the most egregious thing that you could ever do in the sport. They just kind of slough it off, and if they get caught, they get caught. And it's not great for the sport. That's not what I'm saying. But when you stick your neck out and you make a claim that you're not going to do this or you're against it, and then you get busted, yeah, it damages your legacy.
And you know, if anybody had an excuse or a reason to get back into the cage faster, to do something that was right, if he really did do it to fix his leg, Anderson Silva did, it would have made so much more sense for him to be like, my leg fell off.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm doing it this way because my leg fell off. The doctor told me to take this so that my leg would get fixed faster. I didn't know that it was going to be a banned substance. So if he would have started the conversation talking about it being a banned substance, there's a lot of banned substances that aren't necessarily performance enhancing. And
I mean, you know, if you listen to Luke Thomas 2 weeks ago when he was talking about the other busts that you've had recently, saying like, look, if you guys don't know this, you go into any GNC, they're not mandated by the FDA, so there's no oversight. And so, yeah, you could pick 10 of the same, I know there isn't one, so please don't send us terrible letters. You know, 10 of the same bailing whey protein, and two of them out of the 10 are going to have something in it that they shouldn't have, that might or might not be something that you shouldn't be taking.
I don't know if I like my name attached to that.
This is what I'm saying. You should probably not sell that. But what I'm saying is people don't know that. They just assume when you go into a GNC, it's like going into a Meijer or a Walmart or a Target, that these things have been vetted by a government agency with some oversight. It's not. And so while it's easy to cry BS when you see a guy going, look, I only took whey protein. I don't know what you're talking about. That might actually be a real thing. And to circle back to your point, if he had just come out and said, look, I didn't know it was a banned substance, but my leg broke in half, kids. Like, what did I had to take something. You can't just staple that back together. Band-Aid doesn't make anything to fix that, right? You've got to do something. It would have been better for him than what he did.
Well, I grew up actually in college, so I played football at NMU, which is the D2 school. So we had the NCAA testing for that. And the banned substance list was on the bulletin board every year with all the updates of all the things you can't take. And there was so many, like, codone, OxyClean, like every other like word.
You should not eat OxyClean.
Should not. It doesn't help you anything.
Do not take medical advice from Nick Bailing.
Yeah,
who's but telling you to eat OxyClean?
There's so many things on this list, and then those things would be at GNC, and so they had a whole vetting system where if you were wanting to take supplements, you could say, okay, bring it in and we'll take the list. Well, you know, if it's an approved one for sure, then you can take it, and then all that stuff. And literally nobody ever did. I went the way of just being like, forget that. Like, I'm just not going to play that game because there's way too many things that you could possibly get in trouble for. And so to say that if he was under the advice of a medical doctor who was saying taking it, it makes more sense for him to like say it that way than trying to say that he was taking... What was it, like Asian Viagra is what he tried to say?
He was taking penis pills is what he said he got. But right, like, all of that stuff makes him look more ridiculous and certainly damages your legacy because it makes you look dumb. Where this is, it's not ideal, but I think if you come out and you go, look, told me to take it, said it would help me heal faster so I could get back in the octagon, I in no way thought I was cheating. If it's the presumption that I'm cheating, I'm willing to take the penalty that you have decided, Nevada Athletic Commission, that I need to take on the chin. That's totally fine. I meant no disrespect to Nick Diaz. I respect him as a competitor. This was not an advantage to beat, right? Like, all of the things that you should have said, that doesn't damage your legacy. And I think makes you look more like you're self-aware of what you're putting in your body, because that's the part that I always find hard to believe. Nick told me to take it. Well, what's Nick? Well, he's a trainer that I see once a month. That guy told you to take it, and you put your whole livelihood in the hands of a guy you meet 12 times a year. Okay.
Well, and
okay.
In talking about it damaging his legacy, again, he's got a fight coming up this weekend, and look, we feel like we have to put this in front of talking about the actual fight. It's
well, and but I don't think you can't have this conversation, because Michael Bisping, to be honest with you, has been at the, you know, the axe end of this steroid issue. I mean, his eye is a direct reflection of the TRT exemptions. That is an absolute direct reflection of somebody allowing another competitor to put TRT in his body and crush a man's orbital that never healed properly. That is Michael Bisping's tale, my friends. So, you know, when you think, well, I mean, if everybody did it, it might even the playing field. Maybe, but that's going to happen more often than not. And, he, you know, that fight with Vitor that did that to him is because Vitor was on TRT.
And he's lost a few times, and even with, you know, that was legal at the time, so, you know, he was allowed to do it. How allowed and how much you are supposed to do it is debatable, but he's been at that wrong end so many times that it really has affected his entire career. It's not just a loss. It is that thing that allowed him not to fight for the title a few times now.
Sure.
He's never had that title contender part of his label. He's never even had the chance to do it yet. And here he is fighting the guy that he, you know, for years was going after. But, you know, unfortunately now, he was always going after the belt. It wasn't necessarily Anderson himself. So some of the luster there is lost. But I think they're doing it right by putting it on Fight Pass and getting them to go, all right, well, this is still relevant. People want to see it. Maybe it's not a $60 venture anymore, but it's a $10 venture so that you get into our Fight Pass world.
So that gets us into our first question. And I've started putting 2-minute MMA updates on Anchor this week. So we've got some questions from Anchor. We've got some questions from Twitter. And the question from Anchor this week is exactly that. And the question is the UFC making a mistake by putting Anderson and Bisping on Fight Pass only?
I think they're doing it right. You know, they're going to either be a co-main event, which Anderson's not a co-main event on some sort of pay-per-view, or they're going to be a headliner of a Fox card or something that would be free. And if they're like, well, he still is Anderson Silva. He's, you know, Anderson the Spider Silva. He's not quite in that Legends division that we were talking about before.
Yeah, he's not Kimbo Slice or Ken Shamrock.
But. Right. But he is a guy that's worth seeing. And you know what he's worth seeing for me? $10. I'll take that card all day.
Well, and I agree with you. And I think that if this is what they're going to do, I am super excited because I've been a Fight Pass subscriber since the jump, and I've always found the lack of things to watch, save for weeks like this, kind of annoying, right? Because for a while I had both. I had the WWE Network because I wanted to see what they were doing, and I had this. And with the WWE Network, of course, you've got the bonus of reams and years of stuff to watch. If you want to watch the Ultimate Warrior's career, you can do that. And you can do that stuff on Fight Pass. But what I mean is, like this week, you can rewatch the press conference. You can watch a post-fight from the Donald Cerrone fight with Oliveira, the Cowboy versus Cowboy. There's stuff on there. But once the live events are over, and in those rare weeks where you've got 2 or 3 week windows, there isn't much to watch. I mean, they haven't even done 3 episodes of Looking for a Fight. Right? Like, this is the part where I don't understand who's in charge. I know who's in charge, so don't email me snap me or anchor. I know who's in charge of the platform, but I mean, in the abstract, I don't know who's in charge, because Netflix doesn't let you watch a single episode of Daredevil and go, we'll get around to the next one. Like, you get the whole that's the whole purpose of a digital subscription, is that you get the whole thing, or you do it episodically. You don't just go, start a new series. The Bailing Brothers Look for Fighters. Episode 1 is up now. In 7 years, we'll give you episode 2. That's not how it works. So the fact that they're doing this and they're seeming to go and dip more than their toe into the digital subscription service to give you something of value, this is absolutely worth $10. You cannot tell me that, you know, Gegard Mousasi and Talis Laitis and Anderson Silva and Bisping, you wouldn't pay $10 to watch. Because let me say this, if you won't pay $10 to watch those two fights, you are listening to the wrong podcast. You have no idea what you're doing about this sport, because that alone is worth it. And I think if this is what they're going to do, and I don't know, maybe it'd be fun if we get a break here, you know, if it chills out a little bit before UFC 200, if we could put our brains together and come up with what this would look like for the course of a year, like what these fights would look like. I don't know what else you do. Who else sits in that pseudo legends division, excuse me, where you are excited to see them fight Bisping and Anderson, but there's really no implications. I mean, if he beats Anderson, he beats Anderson, right? I mean, it's not super exciting. It's going to be awesome for him. It's the biggest fight of his career, but I think there's still too many questions about where Anderson would actually be with top 5 competitors that I don't know that it leapfrogs Bisping to title contention.
So you're better versed in this than I am. If this is live at 4 o'clock, does this immediately go into replayable mode like later?
I'm hoping yes. It does not with the TV stuff. So if you're watching the prelims on Fight Pass and then it goes to Fox Sports 1, then it goes to Fox, there's a bit of a delay before you can like get all of that content. This, I'm hoping, goes immediately into replay, because that's where they're going to win. Is they've got to get to the point, and so does the WWE. This is, you know, and you're seeing the WWE cheated a little bit on YouTube. Like this week, Shane McMahon came back to make a big WrestleMania announcement, and they know that they can't put Raw on their network. So what do? They take 4-minute chunks of what happened and send them out on YouTube so that you can get the gist and tune back in. They're either going to need to do that, where they're going to put a kick-ass fight from this on YouTube because they own it, right?
Yeah.
Who cares? If people didn't give you $10, they're not going to give you $10 on Monday. So give them the fight to show them what they missed, or make the replay immediate. And I haven't done that yet, so I don't know how to answer it. So if I'm watching something on Fight Pass, it's live. I haven't actually had to go, let's say, with Johanna Jędrzejczyk. I've watched all that stuff live. I haven't waited to like 3 in the afternoon when the Poland card's over to go, I want to watch the Poland card. So I don't know, but I hope it would, because I think that's what they need to do. They need to understand that people want to watch it when they want to watch it, and they paid $10, so they should be able to.
Well, and just for example, on Saturday, I am not going to be
you're not even going to be sober on Saturday. There is, in the state of Michigan, there is a winter beer fest to show you just how crazy the state is about craft beer. That you're getting a good day. It's going to be 40. But traditionally, it's one of the last weekends of February where people stand out in 20-degree weather and drink some of the most incredible craft beers on planet Earth. And that is what you are doing on Saturday.
That is what I'm doing. And I just thought, what a better thing to do than to go home and turn that on and not watch it the whole time because I'm otherwise... doing other things.
Yes, and I would say if you're going to do that, if you're coming home and you're going to watch that, my hope is, and maybe I should download these when you guys do them so I can share them with everybody on the Way of the Warrior page. My hope is that you guys will snap at me in the same way that you snapped during the Bellator card last weekend, because I would really appreciate that level of snapping on Snapchat. Speaking of the Bellator card, 2 million people tuned in to watch that. 2 million people.
Yeah.
This is never going to stop.
You know,
it's never going to stop. You nearly killed the guy, and we're going to get to see it again. Like, and yeah, it's never going to stop.
Watching, you know, I've always said in the Olympics, I've always wanted to see like a normal guy run the 100 next to everybody else, so that everybody could get an idea of what it looks like.
Okay.
Like,
I love where this is going.
Yeah. I want to see like someone like you that's just a general athletic person, but not necessarily
an athlete.
Yeah. Yeah. Going and doing the decathlon so that someone can see how hard that really is.
How hard it is to ski and shoot.
Yes, exactly. Now, this is the perfect example of what happens when two people, and I mean, Kimbo has had a career, it's a little bit different, but somebody that knows how to fight, if you were to run up to him in the street and fight, and what happens when you start putting time limits onto it, and there is no one that's going to stop it, and there's no one that's going to say, hey, wait, there's no one that's going to be breaking this thing up, and that's what you got to see. I mean, there's a reason why America's Funniest Videos has been on TV for 25 years now, since I was a kid. It's a tradition. It's because the follies of people are incredible to watch, and you had this perfect mixture of all of that for this fight.
Yeah, but this folly nearly killed a guy, right? Like, Dada 5000, if you, Dafir is his real name, actually went to the hospital and his heart stopped. So, like, this could have been the first professional MMA death on Saturday night that 2 million people wanted to tune in to laugh at. Now, I'm not making fun of that situation. I'm merely pointing out that, as I said last week, you got to be really careful when you're doing this thing. And I think, I forget who it was, if it's Jeff Wagenheim or if it was Ariel Helwani, or even Sean from MMA Fighting, one of them said, like, look, you can do this stuff, you just can't double dip. Like, you should have split these two things up. You can't do Dada 5000 and Kimbo and Ken Shamrock and Gracie on the same card because it sends this terrible message. And I don't know about you. Like I said, you guys were snapping me some hilarious stuff while it was happening. But Saturday morning, I was getting texts from tons of people that were like, that's what you do a podcast about that? I'm like, no, we do not do a podcast about that. We do a podcast about the actual sport. And 2 million people watch this thing. Awesome. But that all that does is reinforce Bellator to do more of this stupid garbage. And that's just what it was. Both fights were hot garbage. Hot garbage. Not like hot dumb. That's not, I mean, like actual terrible, smelly, horrific garbage.
I truly wish that Dada, like the health implications wouldn't have happened to it, because like the amount of enjoyment that I got out of it from like I said, watching America's Funniest Videos or watching something like that was fantastic. I loved it. And to see that he, you know, that happened to him at the end, it kind of takes away some of the humor of it, because you have a life in danger at that point. But it was just one of those things where it's just so, it's so much harder than most people think to fight. For a 2-minute round, if I put anybody in a 2-minute round for their second fight ever, they're going to be more gassed than they were in those fights.
Well, I mean, I tell everybody, and I've been going around doing keynotes about how businesses can use social media in my other life, and I frame it around when I was in radio doing morning radio, I got fat because it was 3 o'clock in the morning and I was eating garbage and then wasn't very motivated to exercise. And I got into boxing and the weight fell off because there isn't a better workout than combat sports. And so getting into boxing shape and then evolving into jiu-jitsu and then into MMA, it's really hard to do. And even after all of that, I've been doing this for 13 years. and I'm not in super great shape right now. I'll be the first to admit it. So I could technically get in and spar with some people, but I'm going to tell you they're going to drown me in round two and round three because it's really hard. 6 minutes is a long effing time to fight another human being.
Yeah.
And that's the, I mean, in professional MMA, that's a round and 1 minute. Like,
yeah.
And it's a long time, kids.
Well, and I want to be clear on how I feel about Dada. Like, there's a lot of people that would have not even questioned him falling earlier in the round and just allowing some sort of, like, you know, just an easy way out, a tap off of just being too tired. And people would have been like, that's what I thought. He pushed himself too far. I mean, he did have an iron will. His body wasn't the thing responding to it, but he did have an iron will to keep going. He literally passed out trying to throw punches.
Well, you know, I think again, to go back to Nate and Conor McGregor, right? When you have the mindset of doing this to begin with, there's something wrong with you. And I mean that in the most endearing sense, right? People who want to fight other human beings, there's something off because that's just not a normal setting to do professionally. So to want to fight Kimbo, you're already in the 1% of the 1%. And to me, knowing what these competitors go through, when you see the guy that's supposed to beat you and was, you know, leagues ahead of in favorite, try and take a nap on the mat in the second round. That's probably why you pushed yourself farther than you needed, because you're like, well, he's already sleeping. If I can just eke out 8 more seconds, maybe I can finish this fight.
Yeah, that almost happened in the second. There was moments where Dada was winning that fight. I can't believe we spent so much time on this.
I cannot believe you said that statement. But yeah, and then, you know, the Shamrock Gracie thing. Did he hit him in the groin? Did he not hit him in the groin? It doesn't matter. It's not Hoyce's job. Let's just get that out of the way. It is not Hoyce's job to protect Ken Shamrock. That is the ref's job and Ken Shamrock's job. And while I think it was a terrible fight and I'm not endorsing the fight, I will be the first to tell you that these two gentlemen came up in a time where those strikes were legal.
Right.
So you have trained your entire life to take groin shots. Why did this one, A, have a weird delayed reaction? And B, why do you lie on the ground and let him punch you in the face and don't defend yourself? Like, you get what you deserve, bro.
How do you train to take groin strikes?
Well, I don't. I'll show you later. On Instagram. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, in the early UFC, there were no rules.
Right.
There was a guy who lost by being elbowed in the groin. That was an actual fight, right? So you knew that that was a possibility, and that's what I'm saying. It's not like they're unfamiliar to these rules. Hoyce Gracie fought in pride matches where they took the judges out. Like, he fought, go look, kids. He fought in a pride match for 15 minutes where it was a draw because they couldn't kill one another, and there were no judges. So his fight is technically a draw because there was nobody to judge, and they couldn't finish one another. Because in Pride, they would just make up stuff to add variables to the. So this is who's fighting in these fights. Guys who have been training their entire life to fight as if you ran up to them on the street. So I don't buy the he need me in the groin and I wanted the fight to be called. I think you wanted out. He looked desperate. He didn't do anything. Hoyce caught him with a couple knees, and then finally the one that went to the groin. And I think Ken wanted out of that.
I can't remember exactly who was quoting this, so I'm sorry for whoever in the ecosphere of the internet said this. But
we just start saying the internet said.
Yeah, the internet
and
said.
And then you're just covered.
Watching Ken want to get out of that fight, like when he stood up and he was saying, you hit me. That was on purpose, pointing fingers after the fight, kind of losing his cool that way. They were saying, is that like he just kind of reverts back to his wrestling days, like his professional wrestling days, like WWE style,
right,
when he was in Japan or wherever he was doing it and it was big?
He did it here too.
So he did it everywhere. So going back to that, kind of just, he doesn't know where to go. He was slightly embarrassed, so that if he could go back to those antics, maybe grab another fight from somebody else. You know, he's trying to stay relevant. Like, is that a reaction to it?
And I think that might very well be a reaction to it. And I certainly think he looked bad in that fight. He was reaching. He couldn't touch him. He looked desperate, like he was trying to make something happen. And, I mean, let's call a spade, friends. Hoyce Gracie's striking is nothing to write home about. Like, he is not a boxing instructor on any level. So if Hoyce Gracie is dodging and parrying out of the way of your striking, I'm just saying, like, it was unimpressive all around. And I really think that I'm glad that Dada is fine. I'm absolutely glad that that's fine. The 2 million people means they're going to continue to do this stuff. My only hope is that they put some of their actual fighters on those cards so that you could see them.
Well, if you guys want to get behind one that I really would like to see, it would be Kimbo versus Justin Wren on there.
I would be okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Mean, Kimbo needs to, Mike Brown was saying, like, something needs to change because it does. Kimbo needs to do some running. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to do 3 rounds. Sorry. You have to be.
Right.
Even the terrible, terrible fighters in the UFC, like, you know, if Roy Nelson can do 15 minutes without really breaking a sweat unless it's in elevation, you have zero excuses.
Yeah, and I'd like to see that just because I support and I like what Justin Wren's trying to do with that whole water four, trying to help the pygmy people that he's taken years of his life to go over there and do that. So I think that the publicity that he could get from a fight like that, and I think that even Kimbo is, everyone says behind the scenes he's such a nice guy that, like, he would probably help support that, and I think it would just raise awareness for it.
So two things. One, I found on Instagram that Matt Hughes was sitting with Booker T for that fight, which I just found awesome. And I guess Booker T cried when Dada 5000 lost. I don't know why. I find that to be really funny, but apparently Booker T was really emotional about Dada 5000 losing to Kimbo. So there you go. Okay, this weekend, Anderson Silva, Michael Bisping. It airs at 4 p.m. Eastern on Fight Pass and will be a replay at some point. I don't know if it's immediate because, like I said, I've never done that. Talis Latis and Gegard Mousasi. Gegard coming off of that wonderful flying knee from Uriah Hall that seemingly came out of nowhere when Mousasi was clearly winning that fight. So this could be an interesting fight. Talis Latis just lost to Michael Bisping last year. So there's some fun fights on this card, and if you're looking for something to watch this weekend, this is certainly the thing. And the test, seeing what kind of people tune in, how many more people tune in to Fight Pass to see Anderson Silva, we'll talk about all of that next week as we get you ready for Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor and Holly Holm and Miesha Tate, as that will be UFC 196 next weekend. It is Way of the Warrior. Have a great weekend. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at Wow Show.